Amen. Baie dankie julle for your participation in worshiping the Lord with your finances this morning. Good morning to everybody this side. Good morning to everybody that side. And good morning to the folks watching online. Great to have you visiting with us this morning around the Word of God. Okay, this morning's message we've decided to call God So Close. In the pre-service prayer meeting, I'm going to confess I got distracted because the train came past. And I look to the side, and it's quite a noisy machine. You'll have it more snare. And it's a heavy machine. I mean, that thing is... And I realized that if that train was not connected to the power source above, it's just going to be this big, heavy block of steel that does nothing. There it is. Take up space, do nothing, unless it's connected to the power source. And I saw the contraptions above the train connected to the power source, and I realized that is so met ons dan hè, that ons we can stay connected to the power source that is God, our Father and our power source. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessing and privilege of fellowship. Thank you that we can get together as your sons and daughters. Lord, I thank you that we can just be real this morning. We can be ourselves. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to put on a Christian face or say Christian things. Yet ek dank u dat ons ons toys uit die kot uit kan gooi. Ons kan moan en groan en complain. Ons kan vra. Dank u dat u daar so is vir ons as ons liefdevolle hemelse Vader. Dank u vir u teenwoordigheid hier so wat twee of meer vergader is. Is u daar so teenwoordig in ons midde. That is a blessing we do not take for granted. Thank you that we can get around your word this morning and receive what you have for us, Lord. And so, Father, too, as a congregation, we just stand in the gap for Corbus and his family that's going to go for a medical examination on Wednesday to decide the way forward. Lord, thank you that you are already there where his journey is taking him. We pray for nothing more but a godly outcome for this entire medical procedure, whatever the specialists or doctors say, Lord. Thank you for your peace to be upon Corbus and his family, knowing that hulle 'n onbekende toekoms kan toevertrou aan 'n welbekende God. En ons dankie daarvoor. In Jesus se naam. Amen. Okay. I want to say to you this morning that it was doubt that caused the first feeling or sense of separation between God and mankind ever. The enemy sowed a seed of doubt in Eve's mind when he caused her to question what God had truthfully and already said. The first time. And this message is called God So Close. The reality is that things happen in our lives that get us to feel, mense sê, ja, ek voel so ver van God af. How can you be far from a being wat alomteenwoordig is? Maar dis hoe ons dit ervaar. We experience it like that. And it's lies from the devil and other things which we're going to look at this morning just briefly, that the enemy uses to wedge between us and the Lord, getting us to feel the sense of separation from God. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? I wonder what some of the thoughts were that went through Eve's mind when Satan said this. What were Adam and Eve thinking? When the first time, you must realize before then, there was no doubt, there was no confusion, there was no lie, no deception, no sickness, no sense of separation from God. And the enemy comes and says, did God really? Did God really? Imagine in those moments, the first time Adam and Eve started to experience that feeling of, you can question God. And the theme scripture that I'd like us to lay a foundation with this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and verse 39. And it reads as follows. And like I often do, I'm going to get us to repeat key words this morning. Is that okay? So I'm going to say after me. Leon is wakker, but okay. It says, Romans 8 verse 38, I am convinced. Is it? I didn't even have to say everybody say, you just did it. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. I submit to you that if Paul says he was convinced, that means that there was a time when he wasn't convinced. But he's at this place in his life where this is written. I'm convinced. Now I know. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons. Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Think of your worst sin. Where was God? Right there. Right there. Think of the times when, before you gave your life to the Lord Jesus, when you were living flat out for yourself and for the devil, where was God? Right there. Isn't it interesting that we perceive and hear and experience the call of God on our lives even when we're unsaved? You weren't born again and then realized, okay, God is calling me and decided to live right. Nee. Yet for die vyand geleef. You lived for the devil and for yourself. We lived for the devil and for ourselves when we felt, worry, dis nou tyd dat ek my lewe moet regkry voor God. We felt that while we were yet unsaved. That's why the scripture says God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So I wonder what went through Adam and Eve's mind when this thought of doubt was sown. Satan has a continuous onslaught against us created in God's image. Continuous. The devil's tool or his means of discouragement is guilt and a low self-image. Please don't raise your hands now, but think about this question. If you have to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of being a Christian, where would you rate yourself? I can guarantee you that 99.9% of you started thinking about things that you've done up to now. I don't know where you'd rate for yourself, but I venture to say that die meerderheid van ons sal ons self nie hoor as 'n 5 gee nie. En in God se oë, hoe sien God jou? Wetende, jy's deur die bloed van Jesus gewas, soos wat ons gesing het vanoggend. Amen. There, meet Jesus. It's going to be with Jesus. Where would you rate yourself this morning? Doubt, guilt, and a low self-image is what the enemy uses as a wedge to drive between you and God all the time. Not worthy, not worthy. Even when you start doing things for the Lord, the devil will tell you it's not good enough. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's Satan's tool that he uses. Guilt and a low self-image. The best definition of a low self-image I'd like to give this morning is when we think of ourselves as anything less than what God has called us to be. Not some worldly idea of your image, but a low self-image is any idea that you have of yourself that is less than what God has called you to be. That's a low self-image. I wonder what thoughts went through Adam and Eve's mind when Satan said, did God really, really say that? Maybe they thought to themselves, maybe God lied. I wonder what that was like for the first time ever thinking those thoughts. Maybe God lied. Maybe God doesn't want what's best for me. Maybe it's just for other people that are more deserving of it because they do X, Y, Z and I don't do X, Y, Z. Maybe I'm not worthy of it. Maybe I'm not deserving of it. Maybe God will leave me to fend for myself. Maybe this is something that I just have to get through alone because God is too busy right now. Maybe you've thought these things. What else is there that God is perhaps not telling me, keeping from me? If that tree is so good, why is He keeping it from me? Maybe we can't really trust God. These are lies that the enemy would want to pound into our minds over and over and over again. You know what? Maybe it's true. Maybe South Africa is going to become like the rest of Africa. Maybe South Africa is going to end up like Zimbabwe or Brakpan. Don't take me seriously. That's just a joke. God's in Brakpan too, as He is in South Africa. Hallelujah. No, maybe God is, you know what? Maybe the curse on this nation is so bad that we will never be able to get out from under it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without us cooperating with the Lord, that statement could most definitely come to pass. There is a way out for this nation, and His name is Jesus. My brother, my sister, whatever challenge you're going through right now, there is a way out, and His name is Jesus Christ. God has not forgotten South Africa. What's going on in our nation right now has not taken Him by surprise. What's going on in your life right now has not taken Him by surprise. When it happened, it's not like Jesus came running into God's office and said, God, have you seen what's happened to Div? Look what's happened to Martin, Lord. And the Holy Spirit's like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, we panic like that. And God would say, relax, I've got this. Trust me. I mean, in light of everything that God has created, how big can our issues be at the end of the day? But for us, it is relative. Imagine what the disciples felt like during those 3 days when Jesus was dead. Imagine what went through their hearts and their minds when they heard these words, Jesus is dead. Don't raise your hand now, but ons akre amaliso weet hoe dit is. To get that boodskap, that phone call, to get that message tells you, your loved one, it's over. What went on in their hearts where their Messiah that had done these great wondrous works, taught like nobody had ever taught before, shown them things that nobody had ever seen before, and the message comes, Jesus is dead. In those moments, what wedge did the enemy drive in to separate them from the teachings of Jesus? Remember, Jesus had told them many, many times that I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of men. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to lay down my life, but I'm going to be raised again after 3 days. And they'd heard that how many times? And when it happened, I've often wondered why, you know, like, did none of them remember? I submit to you that it's very possible that through stress and trauma and heartache that they had completely left their minds the promises that Jesus had given to them. You know, the scripture says that they fell asleep while Jesus asked them to just stay awake with me for an hour and pray with me in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I thought, look at these muchos, man. They can't even stay awake with Jesus for an hour to pray with Him. You know, the scripture says that they fell asleep because of grief. Imagine being so overridden and overcome by grief that you cannot stay awake. That's what the disciples went through. What was going through their minds when wanneer daai tyding gekom het? Tyding is the right word, eh? That when those tidings came, Jesus is dead. Has Satan perhaps said to you, has God really? Can God really? Will God really? Does God really? In your mind, when God would want to remind us that He is so, so close. So, what lies from the devil is causing despair in your life right now? Now let's look at some scriptures to encourage us as far as this is concerned. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. It says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. There's a teaching that lays this idea or this thought. In the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 51, David prays. He says, Lord, he says, please do not take your spirit from me. Okay, he prays like that. When he's praying a prayer of repentance for what he done with Bathsheba, etc. He says, Lord, please do not take your spirit from me. And sometimes we pray that, Lord, do not take your spirit from me. But guess what? Pentecost has come. That means the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, and God promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. David could pray that. We shouldn't really be praying that. That's a thought that I'm sharing with you this morning, because he promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. In the Great Commission in Matthew 18, Jesus says, go and do these things, go and make disciples, baptizing, and I will be with you always, even till the end of this age. He will be with us all the time. So Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, he says, he will neither fail you nor abandon you. He will not. Church, do we believe that this morning? Or do we allow, I wonder. You see, that's all it takes. Satan, all he done was, he used the very word of God against Adam and Eve. He used the word of God against Jesus, tempting him in the desert. He said, God says this, God says that. Satan uses the word of God, and he used the word of God. In rat poison, we're told that 99% of it is actually good food. That's what draws the rat in the first place. It's that 0.2% of poison that gets the rat in the end. I'm on a journey on my way to Cape Town. I just have to be just a little bit off course right here at home. By the time it gets down to Cape Town, how wide have I missed the mark? And that's all that the enemy needs to get, is just that little bit of doubt in your life, getting you to question the promises of God for your life, that might get you to sense a feeling of separation from the Lord. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. If you feel like you're falling fast, you might be falling into the arms of God to catch you there. I thought about this. You're walking along the ground. How drastically does our body language change when suddenly there's nothing to walk on? Sometimes when a fall doesn't catch us by surprise, while we're falling, how does our body language change when we realize we're falling? And spiritually, if you're falling fast right now, you might be falling to the everlasting arms that are underneath there to catch you when you fall. That's Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. His everlasting arms are under you. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Paul again. He says this, and I'm certain, everybody say certain. I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He says the work that God has begun, he will continue. God will continue his work. Ja, mamazie, wat gebeur as ek my rug draai op die Here? What if I backslide on my ear? Well, the Bible says that God is married to the backslider. Isn't that encouraging? God is married to the backslider. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. So this scripture promises that God is going to do his part. How about you and me? How about you and me? Remember, it just takes that small little percentage of the devil's poison in our heart to get us to start questioning that which God has said. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Therefore, he is able. Say, God is able. God is able. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So God is able. And Jude 24, it's just verse 24, there's no chapters. the book of Jude, just before Revelation. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. So God is able to bring us into God's presence, into his joy, without a single fault. He's able to do that. Folks, it's been a long time already since I've come to the realization, I don't have the staying power to stick with Jesus. I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me to keep walking with Jesus. When I stumble, when I fall, underneath are the everlasting arms. It is God's grace that carries us through the darkest times of our lives. It's God's grace. It's got nothing to do with our staying power, our ability to stay disciplined, to stay true, to stay dedicated, to stay committed. Our salvation is not dependent on what we can or cannot do. Our salvation is won and purchased with what Jesus Christ has already achieved at the cross of Calvary. So many times we think of Christianity in terms of one day when I'm in heaven. Een dag as ek in die hemel is. Onthou, was dit 'n program gewees of 'n storie? Een dag was daar. Ja, een dag was daar. Het was 'n cartoonreeks op TV. Ek onthou daai dag. Dis die dag toe, daar was die petrol beskikbaar oor 'n naweek nie. Garage is toegemaak 6:00. Onthou julle daai dag? Remember those days, eh? Een dag was daar, ja. How did I get onto this een dag was daar? It's got nothing to do with my ability, but God's ability. Huh? Yes, yes, thank you, Nadine. We think in terms of een dag in die hemel, instead of van die wonderwerke van God, no. God's ability to keep me. Jesus is interceding for you right now. It says he ever lives to make intercession for us. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost, completely, those who come to God through him. Because he's praying for us. Because we always faithful, because we continuously praying, because ons is so oulik. Man, no. Because he is faithful. He is God. God is so close, regardless of that seed of doubt that the enemy might have sown into your life. So these verses promise us that God will do his part. How about us? Which verses? Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. These everlasting arms. Philippians 1 verse 6. I'm certain that God who began the work will complete it. Hebrews 7, 25. He is able. Jude 24. He is able. God is able. God is able. Over and over and over again. Our theme scripture, Romans 8 and verse 38. Paul writes that he is convinced. Maybe God has you going through a season where he's busy convincing you of something to build your faith. Respect the process. Respect the process. Maybe God is busy convincing you of something where it's like, oh Lord, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I'm reminded that the pastor he preached, he says the people, you know, they say, I just don't feel led to do this. I just don't feel led to do that. So what he'd done is he got a whole bunch of sinkers that people used to fish with. You know those lead sinkers? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know what it's called. It's called a sinker. A sinker. Yeah. What are you thinking about? So he passed these sinkers throughout the whole church, and everybody, they passed the sinker from one person to another. And it was done. And he said, right, has everybody had a sinker go through there? And said, yes, right. He says, right, now that you feel led, do X, Y, Z. They all had a chance to feel, are you getting it? Led? The sinker's made out of lead? Well, maybe your walk with God, it's got nothing to do with how you feel. It's got to do with what God has said. You see, the truth of God's word does not become a reality in my life when I feel it. There are times when I don't feel like doing the right thing, but it still stays the right thing. That doesn't change what God's word has said. God's word still says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am able. He is able. And he lives forever to make intercession for us. So, Maybe God is taking you through something right now that is developing you to where you fully persuaded, where you are convinced, like Paul says, and where you are certain, like Paul says. Maybe he's teaching you to trust him for something you've never trusted him before. Respect the process, because God is close. Amen. God is close. So my brother, my sisters, the deep end comes up. I'd like us to sing that last song that we sang there, please. It's such a beautiful song about the blood of Jesus has washed me. He's washed me clean. It has cleansed me. The blood applied to my heart. So let's do that this morning. When we say this when we pray, Lord, you know, I plead the blood of Jesus, or I cover this with the blood of Jesus. It means I declare that Jesus' blood has been shed. That's what we simply mean when we say that. Jesus' blood has been shed to restore that gap between mankind and God. So when the enemy comes with guilt and a low self-image, remind yourself of what God's word has said about you. God's word says that for the person that's born again, you're seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. God's word has said, if you're feeling guilty, Psalm 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, he has separated our sins from us, so that we can be in a place in our lives where we experience that God is close. Let's sing the song as a congregation one more time together, and then we're going to pray over each other as we close. Thank you, Deep End.